I guess there's a tornado warning.
You're getting ready to preach.
I guess so. Amen. Well, a lot of wind. There we go. A lot of wind. Thanks, Billy. A lot of wind coming from this area, right in here, I guess. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We do have a basement, so, you know, we'll get there. I'll stay right here. You guys can hear me from down there. It's okay. If you go down to verse 33, Matthew chapter 6, and you think about Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, seated, teaching, he gives an instruction. He has just finished telling people what not to do. Don't worry. There's not anything you can do about any part of your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear. He said you can do that all you want, but you can't add a single cubit. Listen, if you could add a cubit to your stature by worrying, 10 foot tall and bulletproof right here, okay? You can't do that. I'm still short. I still don't like heights. That step is too much for me at times. He says in verse 33, I want you to think about this. In contrast to all that's just been said, he begins verse 33 with this word. He says, but. So in contrast to all that stuff, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. I think about our evening this evening and getting to look at these seniors that are getting ready to graduate and their accomplishments. I think it's interesting that all three of them are the firstborn child in their families. And you think about all the firsts, right? The first scream when they were born. That was memorable, right? Now, the ones after that, if you guys could have been quiet, that would have been great. But you kept on doing it, right? The first time that you smiled. The first time that you set up. The first time you held your head up. You know that big thing that kept wobbling and bobbling all over the place? You got it under control, right? The first time you crawled, the first time you walked, the first time that you ran, first day of school, the last first day of school is what you got to enjoy this year. All of these firsts, your mom and dad were so excited, grandparents, right? Nowadays, because of cell phones, boy, you can record those and send them out right away, right? Wasn't always that way. But I think about all of these firsts that you got to accomplish and enjoy, all of these things that you got to do, and I think about, as Josh prayed, the great parents that you had to raise you and bring you up and train you, as Proverbs 22 would tell us, in the train up a child in the way they should go, right? When they're old, they'll not depart from that. We don't always do the best, but we certainly try to do our best to bring you up in that way. That way that you should go. So that you'll know it when you leave. And you three are going to be accomplishing a lot of things. And this isn't directed just at you three. This is for all of us. But I think about these three that are getting ready to go on. And the first things that you do. But the first thing that I hope that you do, and that we all pray for you to do, it's just what verse 33 here says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't get caught up in all the things of this world. Unfortunately, a lot of times you get out of high school and everybody's like, just go sow your wild oats. I don't read that in Scripture anywhere. But I do read where we seek first God's kingdom. I'm going to pick on Caden for just a moment this evening. I'm going to use a word that is bad word, okay? 3 years ago, we started a track program at Dadeville. We got to restart a track program at Dadeville. I get to be the coach, and I love it. That's why I have voice problems now, because I yell too loud at those, for those kids, not at them, but for those kids, that they will perform and do good. And I came to Caden and I said, "Hey, would you like to go out for track and field?" We kind of looked at me like, "Why would I do that? You've seen me athletically at Bible camp every summer. And I've watched. I'm the kickball referee. Okay, and I do a great job. I rock being kickball referee." They use one of those red rubber bouncy balls. One kid kicked that thing, skyrocket. Here comes Caden. He's going to catch it. Right in the side of the face, down the neck. He was red, but not because he is embarrassed. That boy hurt. And that ball hit hard. Okay, and so I've seen those. But I told him, I said, "I've also watched the strength that you have in doing things for others and building others up. I've seen the strength physically that you have in doing a lot of other things." And I said, "You are," and this is where that bad word comes in, "you're retard strong." And he looked at me like, and I said, "Here's the explanation. You have no idea how strong you truly are. You are ignorant of your strength. You're ignorant of what you can do. And with the proper coaching," and he has gotten that thanks to a great thrower coach that we have, he's learned proper technique. And he has learned how to be able to throw a shot put and a discus in the last 3 years. First meet of this year, Buffalo. Caden comes walking down to where I'm on the track encouraging runners. He's been encouraged by his throwing coach. And I went and saw him, and I saw him throw his discus for the first time this year. Watched that first throw, and I saw how well he did. And he came down, and I said, "How'd it go?" He took this many words and made it one. Did I write a guess? And I looked at him and I said, "You did what?" He said, "I did all right, I guess." And he had a real sour look on his face. And I asked him, I said, "How'd you actually do it?" And here came the other throwers in, okay? These other throwers came in and they're all patting him on the back and his coach is excited for him and he is Captain Frowny Face. And I'm like, "What? How'd you do?" They said, "He PR'd in both of those events, throwing the discus and the shot." I did a rudigus. And I didn't understand. And I looked at him, I just wanted to do a little better. But he PR'd. His personal record, his personal best that he'd ever done. You know, we all try to get there. And we want to do that. I truly do. I love getting to coach. I love, first and foremost, getting to be a Christian every single day. I love it. People ask me, "How are you doing today?" I'm awesome. I had one lady tell me, "Only God is awesome." Well, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. My day is awesome. You know why? I'm Corey Orr, and I'm a child of God. And it's not to be egotistic in any way, shape, or form, but I get to be a child of God today. How could my day be bad? Today, I'm going to set out to do my personal best to talk to as many people as possible, because Matthew 6:33 is what I want my life to look like. I want to seek first, not get caught up in all the physical things. I want to seek first. You know, a child of God is what you are. I asked Caden the other day, "So what do you want to do?" He said, "I'm going to go to college, A-plus program, then I'm going to go to Missouri State, and I'm going to work in a bank. I'm going to start off being a teller, and then I'm hoping to get a corner office where I can be an officer, and then I'll be the bank president." That's what he wants to be. You know what he is? He's a child of God. You know, that's the greatest thing for all three of you, the greatest day of your life. For your parents, your grandparents, and everybody else was the day that you became a child of God. That's what you get to be. That's what you are every day. You get to be that. And so this evening, for a few minutes, I want you to think about all of those firsts that you have and all the firsts that you're going to get to have. Because you, if you go back to Matthew chapter 5 now, you are going to get to make an impact on everyone you come into contact with. There's a... Up in Gavin's room is his cap from graduating last year, and there's a globe that lights up that it sits on. Okay? And that globe represents the light that he gets to shine everywhere that he goes. This is you. Go down to verse 13. Notice what's it, there's a three-letter word here. It says R. Okay? R. I want you to keep that in mind. We've already used it once with you being a Christian. It's what you are. Notice, you are, verse 13, the salt of the earth. You are. You're not like salt. You are salt. You get to flavor people's life. Notice, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. You are salt, you are light. You get to bring a salt flavor to people's lives. You get to be somebody that stands out to them. Somebody that I hope they can't wait to see. Somebody that they can't wait to be around. That's the type of people that we should be for those around us. I'm excited for you to get out of the house and get out on your own. It's also scary, by the way. But you get to be out on your own. You get to be who you are. And you know who you are? It's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. But you get to go out and you get to be somebody that gets to add flavor to somebody's life. You get to brighten somebody's day. You get to make somebody's day better. And that person could change every single day. But it gets to be the people that you get to be around. You get to change their life. You get to be around a whole new set of people as you get out of the house. And you get to flavor their life. You get to help bring them to Christ. You get to be that light. That one that they can see that's different than everybody else. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2, please. I think about this. You can ask my kids, specifically my daughter, probably Dalton as well. I drive them to school 3 days a week. I like 80s rock. And I like to sing it at the top of my lungs. It's fun. If there's a Metallica song that comes on, my daughter's like, oh, here we go. So is that one. We're going to sing because I want their day to be better. My daughter looks at me. She shakes her head. You're so weird. So weird. Well, that's what? 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to think about these chosen people that we get to be. In verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see it? Special. Anybody have King James? Does that say peculiar? You get to be different. You get to stand out. You get to look like nobody else, unless they're fellow brother or sister in Christ. You get to look like no one else. Used to be weird, special, peculiar. You get to stand out. Because here's what we know. Go down to verse number 10. Here's why we get to be that way. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We know where we came from. And we know what we wanted to do. I listened to a preacher one time who was speaking to graduates and he wanted to go through all the regrets that he had in his life. Are there things that I'd have done different? Sure. I don't know that I'd call those things regrets because they led me to be the person that I am. And the one most important way that I got there was through the Word of God, realizing and understanding that a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his. You see where we have the ownership, where we have the property, the possession of God? His own special people. His. We talked about this a little bit this morning. There's three kids here that are mine. They're my kids. They're my possession. I get to be called dad by those three, and I think that's pretty special. I think that's pretty incredible. Some of you have graduated from that to being grandparents, and so maybe you get to be mama. Maybe you get to be grandma or grandpa to some kids. You get to be grandpa, papa. How incredible it is to be able to graduate to that, right? How special do they make you feel? How special do you think we make God feel by being His? You know, I'll brag on her all the time, but I love my wife very much. For me, she is the most beautiful woman in the world. And fellas, I'll try not to use that R word anymore, but if your wife is not that, you might be. Okay? She is the most beautiful woman in the world to me. And I love her dearly, and I tell her that, and she shakes her head at me days, and just she doesn't believe it or buy it. And I tell her from time to time, if she could see herself through my eyes, then she would truly understand. I think if you guys could see yourselves, and if we all could see ourselves at times through God's eyes, when we get down in the dumps and we get the poor little me's and we think, well, I'm not good enough, or I can't do, and I... If we could see ourselves through God's eyes, and I'll tell you now, you can. If you look right here, He says you're mine. He says you have abilities to bring people to me because of what you do every single day. You have the ability to be salt and light. You have the ability to influence people, to flavor their lives like nobody else can. You have that ability to do just that. And God says, that's what I expect you to do. Because what I want from you is to understand and realize that unless you're my child, you don't get to go to heaven. And so we have that type of influence, or try to have that influence on people around us every day. The other thing, I think that at times maybe we're all a little that R word because we don't realize just how powerful an influence we can have. And you don't have to stand behind a pulpit. You don't have to get up in front of people. All you have to do is live it and show it and be a child of God and show people what that looks like. And how great their life can be. It is. We sing a song from time to time at Bible camp. The fact that it's grand to be a Christian. There's nothing greater you could be than to be a Christian. To be a child of God. To have that type of influence on people. I love. We've talked about Bible camp. I love Bible camp. We get up every day. And I always tell Brent it's going to be a good day. Because it is going to be a good day. Because we get to be around Christians. We get to be around these kids. We get to influence and have... We get to have an impact on somebody's life like nobody else gets to have. As a Christian, you get to have that every single day. You get to have an impact on somebody's life. To help them see and understand what God would have them do and be. And all He desires for them is the absolute best. So that they can get to heaven. As I told you, we had a track meet Thursday and I yelled a little too loud. I think I may have strained something or torn something. I don't know. My throat hurts. I do know that. But what I know is this. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Think about those people that watch us, that cheer for us, that want the absolute best for us. That's all I want. I love to coach because I love to get to show kids that all I want for them is the absolute best. I just want them, and that's all I expect of them and ask of them is their best every day. Give me your best. And one day their best may be better than the next day, and that's okay. They still gave me their best. They still need to know that I'm going to be cheering them on and I'm going to be yelling for them and I'm going to tell them to use their arms and I'm going to tell them to work on their form and everything else. I just want them to be able to succeed. Well, let me show you how success comes. Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter of great faith, the hall of fame of faith, finishes out in chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, and you think about all those that came before, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, perseverance, the race that is set before us. Here's the success. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what success looks like. And you know, here's the thing. You're not alone. You're never alone. And I'll tell this to all of you in this building, but I'm going to tell you this to these guys in this center section. Don't you ever get to that point where you don't think you have somebody to come help you. You can call me anytime. You see those cloud of witnesses? All they want is the best. They're cheering you on. It's all they want. You can, my track kids know, my cross country kids know. You can find me somewhere on a cross country course. You can find me on a football field in the middle of that track. You don't have to see me to know I'm there, do you? Can you hear me? Loud and clear. That's what we want every day for you to picture from all of us toward you as you go live your life. You can do this. Can't never did anything. You can do this. You can get out. You can be salt. You can be light. If you will keep your eyes focused on Christ, if you will seek first the kingdom of God, if you will do those things, everything else falls into place. Life is not perfect, and it's not meant to be perfect here. Because if it was, why in the world would we focus on heaven? Life's not going to be perfect. You're going to have difficulties, but you also have help every step of the way. You're never alone. Not ever. All we want is the absolute best. And when you start to have that day, Zoe, I'm sorry, you're the only one who hasn't run cross country or track for me. But I hope you know that I yell just as loud for you. I'll scream for you. I'll strain my vocal cords. I'll tear them and shred them if that's what it takes. I need you to know that I'm here. We're all here. Most importantly, that God is there. And He's never leaving. We let each other down from time to time. He never does. He's the one that is constant, consistent, and will always be there. Never will He leave. Our responsibility is we seek Him first. That we make sure that everything that we do revolves around what He would have us to do. You see, that's where the salt and the light come in. That's where keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher. I think from time to time, I'll get on my soapbox for just a second. We pick up these books and we pick up the Bible and we read Matthew and we say Matthew's the author. No, he's not. Matthew's the writer. God's the author. He's the originator. It's His word. Every single bit of it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Peter, in fact, would tell us that none of it came through inspiration of man. It was not from man. It's all from Him. So therefore, when we read His word, what we understand is that's the author who's telling us what we can do to be pleasing to Him. What we can do to make sure that our lives shine that light. You're not like it. You are salt. You are light. You are going to have that influence on somebody's life. And we can influence them for the goodness of God, or we can influence them to turn away from Him. That's the choices we get to make in life. But when you start to feel that weight and pressure of life, take a breath. Remember that you have you have a crowd of people who are yelling and cheering you on, and all they want is the absolute best. You can find us anywhere. We'll be on that football field yelling your name. You don't have to see us to know that we're there. We'll always be there. Most importantly, when you think about being surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, you know, the head coach that is there yelling for you is the one who sent his son, the one who gave us life, the one who gave us this. God is there in every way, shape, and form to cheer us on, to get us to home. All he wants is the best. We get to live for him every day, but it's a choice we have to make. So what choice do you have? What choices have you made? Life is fun. Life is exciting. And it's a lot better when you're a child of God, because you have something so much better to look forward to. We have the greatest reward waiting, and you can get there. But you have to choose to every day. Get up every day. Every day is an awesome day. Every day is going to be a good day. Why? Because you're a child of God. And if you're not, we can help you become one. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. It causes us to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. We believe in him. It causes us, in 2 Corinthians 7 verses 9 through 11, to have that godly sorrow leading to repentance, not to be regretted. That leads to salvation, everlasting life in heaven. We can change, and we can live for him. Be willing to confess his name. Matthew 10 and verse 32. If you confess me before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. We repent of that sin. We confess his name. We're buried with him in baptism, as Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. They've just asked in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's by the authority of Jesus. You'll receive the forgiveness of your sins. His blood washes that away. Revelation 1 and verse 5. We rise to walk in newness of life. And Jesus in Revelation 2, the last sentence of verse number 10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The incredible part of that is that word I. He says, you can put in you, be faithful unto death. I, nobody else, I will give you that crown of life. We can go on to live with him for all eternity. That's what we want. That's what we look forward to. And tonight, if we can help you become a child of God, we'd love to do so. Maybe tonight, as a child of God, you think about your life and there are things that you need to change and do differently. Maybe you just need the prayers of the church. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now. So together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.